Tywin Lannister. I don't choose Tywin Lannister. I don't love Tywin Lannister. I love my brother. I love my lover.
Ew.
Yep.
This is the Extra Hot Crate Podcast, episode 34, for the week of June 16th, 2014. I am David T. Charcoal Baby Daddy, and I'm here with Mistress of Coin, Sarah D. Bunting.
Kachingus.
Big Bronze Hand, Tara Ariano.
Get it up in my business!
Mammoth Wrangler, Nick Reinwell Jones.
Oh no, he's pooping again.
And Hound Groomer, Jeff Drake.
Kill me already!
Welcome!
Hooray.
So... 10 or 11 weeks ago, we started the season of Game of Thrones with our two Game of Thrones coverers,
yep.
Nick Reinwald Jones and Jeff Drake, and now they are both
They prefer
back.
To be called Westeros correspondents.
Oh, okay. Yes. Sorry.
Dateline Westeros.
Now they have returned.
Both dragons got moxie.
Because season four is over.
Yes.
So let's talk about it.
First, I just want to say I do believe this is our first podcast with five people.
Ooh.
So I think you're right. That's right, because Sarah wasn't here when we did Game of Thrones
the first
time.
We replaced her.
So, if you enjoy the odd technical difficulties we have with just three or four people, oh, just you wait. Oh, it's going to be great.
That's the spirit.
finale, season four. Is it me, or was this episode kind of got very Lord of the Ringsy? Suddenly, we got magics and beasts and dudes who live in tree roots.
It was, I forget who it was that I saw online had mentioned it, but it was like, you know, for the run of Game of Thrones so far, you could tell people, well, it wasn't that kind of show. It's not that kind of show. And then they said, but unfortunately, you know, for those people, it's like, now it is that kind of show.
Right.
Yep.
Because there is, of course, that didn't, like, while I was watching it, it didn't occur to me at all because I have no aversion to that kind of show. So
sure.
I was like, all right, bring on the Ray Harryhausen skeleton fighters. And
the
let's...
girl throwing fireballs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Girl with fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they had to kind of lull us into, you know, like a false sense of security of it being like a little bit more serious and less fantastical show so that we'd feel comfortable that they weren't going to screw it up when they started bringing in this kind of thing. So.
Right, yeah. So
it just seemed like a lot all at once.
Well, they. Had
I mean, we've had dragons for a while, but
they had a lot to cover. From people that I talked to that had read the books, they were just like, depending upon how much they decide to cover, there's so much to cover
right.
in the last episode, and they did cover a lot.
Speaking of the books, what is the thing that didn't happen at the end of this episode that everyone was expecting?
I don't know.
Wait. I know, but. There's people here on the podcast that are trying
that
to keep away
know.
From the books.
Yeah, and it could be something
people
that
in
they...
this room, you mean?
And I think if they're going to do it, it's going to be in the first episode next year.
All right.
So let's just let that sit fallow for
just
the
send
sake
it
of...
into send it into my mind.
I'll tell you after the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it is bonkers. I'll give you that.
Okay.
I do not. First of all, I don't have any faith that George R.R. Martin is a decent writer, and so I mean, other than like plotting and stuff, like I just don't. Imagine that his prose will be enjoyable to me, and I've heard it's parts of it are incredibly dense, and mm-hmm. it's like I'm just not in the time
you have
of
things
my life.
To do.
I do.
Those and books
I
are have, like 1,000 pages long.
I've got the third Margaret Atwood Mad Atom book.
Yeah,
to read.
You do.
Like,
get on it.
Just got done with the second one, and it's mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah.
So,
well, as you said in the first Game of Thrones episode, TV is your friend that reads books to you.
Absolutely, it is. Why, like. And but unfortunately, I have to finish that Margaret Atwood trilogy before it becomes a TV show.
And then you can complain about how they're screwing
it
up.
Well, they will probably
cut to me next week about the leftovers, or no, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't want to know anything about the books and like the people who are whining about like this thing didn't happen in order. I'm like, that's fine by me.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think that people who have never read the books have a huge advantage enjoyment-wise over people who have, because we have no expectations for it. It's just a TV show that we're watching unfold, and
yeah,
like the showrunners are in charge of it. Like, George R. R. Martin is not in charge of it, and that's what people don't really get.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously the showrunners have made decisions nobody likes, and the author of the books has done stuff that people are not crazy about. So it's like six of one, half a dozen of the other. But mm-hmm. if you don't know what's going on, I kind of appreciate, you know, that you'd want to stick your fingers in your ears and just go, la, 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 don't tell mm-hmm. me.
But go ahead, Sarah.
I think in some ways, I don't watch regularly. I follow it via Mike and Jeff and then read books the rest of the time instead. Not really. But my brother and sister-in-law are big fans. She has read all the books. Dave, my brother, has not. And he finds it very useful to like have her to explain certain things, or like, why is everyone in this scene named like a similar thing, and they're shooting this, and you know, I can't see anything, who is that? And because she has read all the books, she can like sensei him through certain confusing bits, so that's handy. And I feel like a lot of couples watch it that way, but I don't know if that's true.
Well, I think it's always funny if like I'll have to like pause and put the closed captioning a lot for recapping it, because I need to know like how a character's name is spelled. And then I might like Google it and see like the listing in like the Game of Thrones book wiki. Yes. And it's like one character that's in like a second, and there's like 10 pages of stuff about him. And it's like, oh, he ends up, you know, like killing everyone by the end of the series. Or like, oh, shut up.
Yeah. There's a couple of resources that I use that I have to stick with these because they stick with the TV show very, very
right.
Like all I really need is like, just give me a thumbnail of what I've seen of this person so far, the name of the actor, and how to spell their character name, and like that, and like how they're related to the show and all of that. Like I don't want, because you just can accidentally be like, well, the most notable thing was when this happened. It's like, it hasn't yet.
Yeah, so, there's a TV wiki and a book wiki. You got to be careful not to click on the wrong one.
Yeah.
Well, while we're on the subject of the books, I don't think this would necessarily be spoily, but how there's definitely some distressingly rapey aspects to the show that people have been talking about, and also talking about the show not talking about. Like, the show isn't really acknowledging how kind of horrible it is, and its portrayal of like these rapes and incest, and is just, you know, pretending these things didn't happen, a la Luke and Laura, General Hospital. Sorry for that comparison. is that like a sense, is that coming over from the books, or is that totally the showrunners?
Well, I mean, they had a big controversy early in the season. I think it was it the first episode? Did we talk
about
it?
No,
it was the third. Second or third. Yeah.
Okay,
Jamie
with the
and Cersei.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's right, because it was after.
Yeah,
And, you know, they got into some trouble because, you know, in the book, it was supposed to be, you know, consensual, so says the author, but in...
But the other thing about that, as I read, was that in the book, it's also told from Jamie's point of view, that chapter.
Also, just picture for a moment George R. R. Martin, and then once again consider saying like that as he wrote it, it was consensual. I don't know that he's the best, like,
yeah, he's an unreliable narrator in that respect.
Of, like, the intricacies of male female.
Are you just saying that about him, or against all bearded men?
There's guys, there's warriors in the beard that don't know the War of the Mad King is over.
It is not about his beard. It's about the fact that you can walk down the street. You can walk down the street in any town, in any city, at any time, and see at least two George R. R. Martins.
For sure.
Around. I see one
two
a day.
You're lucky.
Yeah, there's a couple behind Trader Joe's in the alley.
This is Brooklyn. They're all that guy.
But
if you capture them and rub their belly, you get the wish, granddad.
That guy is teaching banjo lessons, first lesson free. Yeah.
This kind of dovetails nicely with the question about what Louis has been trying to do this season as well, because they just sent the screen.
Too many dragons on that show, too.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to add. No, just like in the last two episodes, I think a lot of people have been thinking, you know, the Amya storyline was going in a certain direction, and then there was the next episode where Pamela tells him, like, you can't even rape well. And so it's like, because he's just trying to make her kiss him, and she doesn't want to kiss him. And he, like, physically overpowers her because she's tiny and he's huge.
But he does try to push her into the bedroom.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's troublesome, and like a lot of critics that I've read not all male, but all male, have been saying, I'm sure that he's going somewhere and that this is the show doesn't regard this behavior as if it's okay. And there's going to be some kind of payoff for all this where he learns a lesson about sexual politics. And spoiler alert for tonight's two episodes, that was not my impression of where things went. So
yeah, interesting.
Anyway, I'm just saying, I think it's interesting that the show portrayed that scene as definitely rape.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know enough from the subsequent episodes about like if there were consequences for it. Well, it's Westeros, so I don't feel like there's consequences for
anything. They certainly seem to have
they got over it.
Well, to me and some people who commented online, the problem was like not so much the scene in itself.
Right.
Because if you watched it, you could be like, yeah, Jaime raped her and he's a horrible guy in that respect and it's reminding us that he's a horrible guy.
Yeah.
Then, like, the director was trying to say, like, well, it wasn't really, like, I think he actually had someone, I think it was the director, actually had the line, like, well, I think it was supposed to have become consensual.
Hmm.
Oh, like, no, okay, no, that's never okay to say. Like, and, you're not endearing yourself to anyone.
It was okay in 1950s movies.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Well, and if you're in the U.S. military where they tell you that's what you should do, just submit. That's better than fighting.
Right. Yeah. You might learn something.
Well,
this episode brought to you by the U.S. Army.
Anyway.
So about the actual episode.
Yeah.
Thanks for stopping by, Jaime.
Anyway.
That's really valuable.
Anybody still listening?
So here's my overall.
Thanks for hot grade. We're the worst.
Okay, point number one to talk about.
Yes.
Why did we need to have the Mother of Dragons in this season at all?
Good question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they lost me with that like three episodes ago when she's like, you know what? I'm just not going to invade King's Landing. I'm just going to stick around here. And it's like, what?
I'm going to sit around here and legislate.
Yeah. It was like, oh, awesome. Finally, a part of Game of Thrones. It reminds me of everything I loved about the first Star Wars sequel.
Yeah.
Great.
So she's running the DMV now? Is that what's happening?
Please talk about tariffs.
Right. Taxation of outlying trade routes.
Great. Yeah. Is because he, as far as I knew, she was like not on the show anymore. was like, and there's some blonde lady. Just kidding. Next, like he just wasn't dealing.
And
with
like
her
every
at
second
all.
Episode, somebody brings something black and charcoal-y to her steps. The dragon did it.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, my dragon isn't. Here's a coin. And farewell. She's Margaret Thatcher.
I was going to say, is she a Terry Jones?
She's, yeah, exactly. Terry Jones is Margaret Thatcher. From what I understand, she's sort of. I think she, in the book, she disappeared for a long period and then doesn't show up until the later books and then has, I think it's a way to keep her around, but it's certainly, like, they certainly, in my opinion, that's the weak part of the season. And I thought overall the season was really good. I thought there was, episode, like three and four or four and five or something were a little bit, like, laying groundwork pretty heavily, mm-hmm. but then once, like, from the Tyrion's trial out, it was just, like, so enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I thought the last three episodes were the best, like, because in previous seasons they had, like, a great, like, ninth episode. And then this year they had, like, the big Prince Oberyn gets killed in episode 8. And episode 9 was also, like, also had, you know, was just that huge battle sequence, which was amazing. And then this episode had so much stuff go on. It was the strongest finale, I think, of the four seasons.
Sad,
yeah.
Sad for Dave Cole, though.
Yeah, I'm always a big Tywin fan.
Your guy died.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and so undignifiedly.
Yeah. No.
And
they Elvis that guy.
Because that guy got some stuff done. You know, he had, unlike a lot of people in this show, I feel like he had his eyes on the prize.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was ruthless. And he was a big dick.
Yeah.
But, you know, he got results more than we can say from any other leaders in this world.
I think the lesson that we've learned four seasons in, though, is
lock the door.
Is, well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Have someone guard you when you're pooping.
Yeah. So.
Even in the middle of the night, which it apparently was.
Yeah. You know, he just had sex. Who doesn't like a good poop after sex? It's so predictable. It's like clockwork. It's better than coffee and a bran muffin. And I've killed Dave Cole.
Wait, which clan is bran muffin?
House Stark.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And you said you'd have nothing to contribute.
We're so professional.
Oh my god.
I mean,
I do have a question though.
Yes.
I think that a lot of it's not a specific question.
Go ahead.
I think a lot of the commentary today has been centered around the ratings and comparing it to other capital G great tentpole HBO shows. And Mo Ryan was talking about how it still, for her, hasn't quite bridged the divide between a very good, enjoyable show and a great show, like a work of art show like The Sopranos. Mm-hmm.
But honestly,
do you guys
that's...
think it's a great show currently? Do you think it isn't but is on the verge of becoming one?
I mean, I think that's exactly what's good about it, is that they're not trying to make it like a great artistic show. Like, yeah. I mean, I never watched Rome, but that's the impression I got with Rome, is that they were like, they were really focused on trying to make it like a, like capital G, a good show. And in this case, they're trying to make it a good example of what it is, which is a very genre-y show. And they're like, they're taking it seriously, but they're not trying to make it like, you know, art.
Or, yeah. I think from the get go, like I remember the impression that my wife Wendy and I had at the very beginning of the show, which is like, if you know, it's like they famously, it was like they're shooting like all 10 episodes and it's $50 million for the whole season and all of this. And it's like, I remember saying like, if you spent $40 million on this show instead of 50, it would look 100 times worse. It's like, it's just like, in order to pull off a show like this, you do have to like shoot on practical sets that are in amazing locations. And so you do have to spend that money and you do have to spend that time, and they do it really well. And it can only, like, they have to make it like 10 episodes, because like, if you start stretching it out, then you have long periods where there's a lot of just walking down hallways and talking. Yeah. Like, as we've seen with network shows where they do that, where it's like, you know, where there's a lot of, they save up their money for a big special effects extravaganza or whatever. And I don't think it has its eyes on being like, like trying to be a big tent show.
Yeah.
I think it is exactly what Nick said. It's trying to be like the best example of this type of show. And you're either on board with it or you're not. And if you're not, I get it. Like, you know, it's like, you know, it's just, it's the type of show has some stuff that's just going to,
it's a well-produced show. It's fun in the moment. I find it's not something I necessarily feel I would want to go back and rewatch. I'm not a big rewatcher, but even so, but I would say like, it's a good show, maybe not one like for the capital A ages, you know, like I don't think anybody,
a lot of Emmys though. I mean,
but I'm just saying, like, you know, in the same breath as The Wire or something like that from HBO, where it's saying something and all, you know, it's got public appeal plus it's got critic appeal, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's something that, you know, that has meaning beyond itself.
Right.
But so you can, I think it is a show like that, because I don't think The Sopranos was setting out to be anything other than what it was, which was this meditation on Freudian gangster Venn diagrams of the mind or whatever.
You can also see
it turned into this huge juggernaut. So
you can see what Game of Thrones does well too when you see the ripoff shows that other networks try and
Vikings,
put up.
Yeah.
Like, you like Vikings.
But, I don't like Vikings.
But like, I mean, Da Vinci's Demons is another
terrible
example, or like that, whatever, The World's End or something. That one that my mother watched. One that was on Stars.
Yeah. It was a special. It was like some book series. I know what you're talking about, but yeah, Pillars of the Earth or something like that.
Yes, yes.
That actually predated Game of Thrones, I think.
Not the show.
The books.
The show?
Not the show.
No. Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've read some pilots that are definitely, they're like, all they're going for is like the visual flair of Game of Thrones and nothing else.
Right,
like,
but it's
okay,
like,
it's
like all those copycat, like, we'll just put a show in the 60s and then it'll be as good as Mad Men, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then it was
But I totally agree with Jeff that like, if it was trying to do that, it would ruin what makes it so much fun to watch week after week. And, you know, I still have
a
lot of problems
like,
with the show. But,
yeah, but I see Sarah's point, too, where it's like being the best example of the genre that you're in is still very impressive, i.e. The Good Wife is another example where it's like it doesn't overreach, but it does what it does really well.
Also, it's just like it shows a, like, you know, I mean, certainly it's coming from source material that they can like keep their eyes on, but like it's very, very focused as to what it is from, you know, from the get go. It's been like, this is what it is. And obviously, like, you know, obvious to people who watch it, like, it's high quality, and to people who are into it, like me, it's like, oh, this is great, it's very satisfying, I look forward to the season, I'm sad to see that 10 episodes are gone already, you know, every year, and then I'm like, geez, it's gonna be, like, a whole year until it, and then I get very, you know, it's like, it's rare anymore to get, like, super excited for the debut of a show, you know, for the, oh, the season's coming back. Like,
yeah, yeah, as soon as you get that, like, first teaser that has any footage, you're like, oh my god, what's in that?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, but it's like, they just keep sort of dialing that in, but obviously, I mean, you look at the rating story for the show is bananas.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like this constant, it's been just this constant upward trajectory.
And I gotta believe it's probably their biggest international hit ever.
Oh, yeah. Stuff like this does great.
I mean, we got a press release today that said it was like the ratings for this one were 32% higher than season 3 finale ratings. So.
Yeah, well, it really is the water cooler show of the, you know, the teens, right? I mean, this is the one that.
Now the Breaking Bad is gone.
Yeah, but this is the one that everybody sort of is, it's, you know, the closest thing you have to a totally, you know, common show.
Yes.
You know.
Except for children, as DirecTV said, not for kids.
Not for kids. All right, so let's quickly go through some other thoughts on this episode. The fate of the Hound, sad, ambivalent.
So bummed.
I was so sad when the two of them started fighting, because I was like, as a casual viewer of the show, like, I don't know how I want this to end. I really like them both.
That's exactly what Wendy said. She was like, oh no, I don't know who I want to win.
I know, and that was what was great about it, I thought. Because there's so many times when it's like, oh, please let the good guy win. Oh no, there goes the good guy, gets his head smashed.
I would also like a finer point on that is, like, and they did it, I think, also with the Prince Oberyn versus the Mountain fight. They do amazing fight choreography in the show. Like, where it's like, because I thought this fight in particular, where it was like, oh man, she is so overmatched at the beginning. And then it was just, and then when it got dirty, that's Brienne's time to shine.
Yeah, you know? Like bashing him with a rock. Like,
everyone was getting kicked in the crotch in that fight. Yeah. Everybody.
Reminded me of a fight from Deadwood. It really reminded me of the thoroughfare fights from Deadwood.
It's just like, oh, there's equality on this show for you. Mm-hmm. She punches him in the groin, he kicks her in the vagina.
Look, she doesn't need that baby maker for making babies. Let's be real.
I don't know. She's with Podrick. He's a swordsman of some renown.
He's going to carry that baby if they have it.
I really, fingers crossed for those two. I really think they
can somebody remind me what the hell the purpose of the super fake tree was that he finally got to in this episode?
The Sky Mall tree, as Jeff called it.
I looked it up. Yeah. This is one of the things I looked up to because I was like, what are those trees called again? And then I read some about it. Get ready, nerds. They're ancient trees that still only exist in the north.
Sure.
You can keep saying nerd at every pause if you want, Sarah, because you're absolutely right.
We'll stipulate nerd.
I think she said sure. Oh,
sure.
I'm
bringing it on myself. The faces are carved into them. So that was some relief to me. I was like, oh, please. It like grew
it's
with
a soul
sky
tree
mall
or
face.
Oh, right.
So the faces are carved into them. They're like the ancient gods that like the wildlings believe in and that the people south of the wall no longer believe in.
Ah.
So it's a remnant of the first men. I just did air quotes, everybody. Just remembered I'm on a podcast and you're not looking at me.
Beneath them, there's some dude that lives in the tree.
I don't know if it's everyone, but that one certainly has...
Guarded by a little pixie who throws fire.
As Wendy's sister said, hey, look, the three-eyed raven guy lives in Carcosa. So.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Or Ticket Oak.
Ticket Oak? Yeah.
Right?
I don't know what that is.
From the StubHub commercial.
Oh yeah.
The horseback riding.
Oh,
God.
Or the F.A.O. Schwartz tree that they used to have in some F.A.O. Schwartzes.
That's his name, Ticket Oak?
Yes.
Nobody cares about the kid that died.
No. They could have killed Jojen immediately after he first arrived.
Well, and the thing is, he said from the beginning, like, my only purpose is to get you where you're going, and that's where he was going. So it's like, it's not like he was going to have anything interesting to do after that anyway. It was just
Sorry, go ahead.
Is Bran the kid that got pushed out the window in the pilot? Okay. So that's why he's paralyzed now?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a tough lesson to learn, Bran.
Yeah.
Don't spy on people fucking.
And our fourth death.
The more you know.
Shay. Yeah.
Shay.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that character just took like a turn too fast in her characterization going from...
Yeah, I agree.
From, sympathetic to and in Tyrion's camp, and then just sort of like too quickly fell off that cliff.
What are you going to do? You can't really be on his camp once he's in prison. She is a a whore after all.
Yeah, that's true.
But she was very
whore's going to whore.
She was supposed to be like very savvy and intelligent about everything, so in theory she should have been able to understand like why she couldn't be around, because she was endangering herself and everyone, and then
she wasn't very smart about that.
And then once she did get sent away, that was when she totally turned on him.
And when
she turned on him, she really turned on
him. How awkward was it on the set when they had to film the scenes where they put Peter Dinklage in a little box with air holes?
Yeah.
So really sorry about this, Pete. But what we're going to do...
So here's the thing.
Now you have your choice. We can put you in a big jar. We can put you in a little box.
We can put you in this sarcophagus.
It was a good size
crate.
Brave
backpack?
It was a good size crate.
It was a good size crate.
He got a little bindle of supplies. I guess that's what he's going to be pooping in now.
Yeah.
Here's
where you'll be pooping.
Oh, and I just want to give a shout out to the I think it was a penultimate episode with the giant wall scythe.
Scythe. Yeah.
That was pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the way it smeared them across the wall. Like chop them. It was
Well, yeah, when he's like dropped the scythe, I was like, that's what it is. Oh my God.
It's like locks on a bagel.
Sounds like a good idea. Oh, it's better than a good idea.
Okay, what's the deal with Stannis? Why does everybody hate him?
He's
a dick.
Just boring.
Wow. He's just a schlemiel. He's completely like, he doesn't have the ability to like inspire anybody to anything.
Well, I feel like you have to go around telling people you're the one true king. You probably aren't.
Right.
He is, which is the bummer. It's you're the guy who technically won
It's like the guy who's like, hey, everybody calls me Crazy Legs. It's like, no, you want to be called Crazy Legs.
It's like Tara and T-Bone.
It caught on in some
call me T-Bone, circles. Says Tara. Didn't happen. All right, anything else before we move on for Game of Thrones?
Well, I got to say, I thought that I was a little disappointed with last season. I was looking back at I had written a season in review for it, and I thought that season 3, it was kind of slow. They did too much... like just checking in with a lot of characters when there wasn't necessarily anything going on with that storyline. Uh-huh. And I thought that they really improved that in this season. Like they didn't check in with people unless there was something interesting.
With the exception of Daenerys.
With the exception of Daenerys, which ended up, you thought they were leading her in an interesting direction.
Speaking earlier of The Wire, that was something that they were never afraid to do. It was just like, we haven't seen this character for like a season and a half almost. It just popped up and you're just like supposed to know, remember. Yeah.
I felt like, remember that episode of Arrested Development when the narrator's like, oh, let's just see what other people are doing. And it's just like shots of them not doing anything. Like that was season 3 a lot, I thought. So I thought they really improved that. And it was like, the structure of a lot of the episodes, it was like they would just spend like a consecutive 30 minutes on one story.
Yeah.
And that really made it a lot cooler and a lot, it could really delve into these storylines a lot more instead of just being, we're going to give you like a little drop of this one and a little drop of that one and then see you next week.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could tell like this season, that they made that change because there would be there would be a couple of episodes where you wouldn't see like Peter Dinklage wasn't in like a couple of episodes because they were following other stuff.
But they always made sure to leave you off on like a high note. So you remembered where you're going to pick them up the next time.
It was a great season, I thought. It was just, I was kind of getting a little bit lost near the middle, just because I thought it was just like a lot of like, okay, so this is like sort of setting the political stage. But, I think the biggest rule is, and this is exactly why Tyrion gets killed, is like...
Tywin.
Tywin, sorry. Why Tywin gets killed is...
Never poop.
He's... First of all, he made the mistake of pooping in Westeros. But it's like the characters, it's like if you want to try to figure out who's going to get killed, it's like Tyrion can't because he's like at a low point. And so killing him now has no dramatic impact.
That's true.
Who's kind of at a high point or
who's
basically
riding the wave.
Or basically they've done their job.
Right.
Like Joffrey. It's like, what he's done, he's been as terrible as he could be. And so like now's the time. So, that's what you get, Tywin Lannister.
Lock the door. right, it's time to go around the dial. Everybody bring a little something to something. What do you got, Tara?
As we record this, the Playing House two-part finale is tomorrow, and I would advise everybody to please watch it. I know USA renewed Sirens last week.
Oh, did they?
Their other first original sitcom. They have not renewed Playing House yet, and I mean, if this pattern holds, they'll probably renew it in like a month and a half, because that's how long Sirens has been off the air.
Right.
But I don't get a sense that they're doing a ton of promotion of it, and I can't tell how much they're supporting it, but that was also true of Sirens. So basically, I'm hoping that the tale of Sirens is an optimistic sign for the future of Playing House, because it's been a much stronger season creatively than Sirens was, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, these characters really came to the show fully formed, and you knew who they were, and they knew who they were, and, like, as the more you learn about the world around them, it just, like, all
and
it feels
like a more unique show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something that you don't really have on TV right now.
Yes.
At least, you know, of a particular pairing and situation.
Yeah.
You know, we always talked about Best Friends Forever, their first show.
Yes.
And, you know, I think this one even feels like they know what they're doing even more. Like, that one worked because it was two friends, and this, obviously, the two friends here, and the chemistry is very strong.
Yeah.
But I feel like this one has a grounding that one maybe didn't have.
Well, it has more of a premise behind it.
That's
too,
what I mean.
They can explore more. I mean, Best Friends Forever was great, but it was really like two people are friends, and that's the show.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there was, you know, some tension sometimes between the one who was in a couple and the one who wasn't, but like.
Yeah, but I just feel like because this one has a stronger or at least more concrete premise, that it stands a better chance of making it past season one, only because that is sellable, marketable, you know, demographically pinnable.
Yes.
Well, and also, like, they have room to go story-wise. Like, once she has the baby, it's going to be a different show.
Yes.
And
hopefully not too much about the baby.
Also, the show is just fucking delightful.
It's really funny.
It's just, it's hilarious, and it's just, like, I mean, it's, like, one of the few shows, like, it's just, like, it's the best word is just delightful. Like, it's just
a
blast to watch. Like, the laughs come out of very surprising places.
Mm-hmm.
They're very entertaining. The way they interact with each other is, like, obviously so much based in reality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That it's, like, it's this really unique chemistry that you just, like, it's just
the Bocephus
episode. God,
oh, it's so
good. But I would say too that the emotional stuff always feels earned, and it doesn't just come in the last minute of the show. Like,
right.
It comes at various, you know, high and low points throughout the half hour. And the difference between a show that's great like Playing House and a show that's offensively terrible, like, for example, Undateable, is so stark.
Yeah.
Like, Undateable was like 28 minutes of fucking shit, and then in the last 2 minutes they were like, but I really want to, like, I don't care what you really want.
Yeah.
You're garbage. Yeah. Like, I want you off my TV. That's what I want.
It's the Marge and Homer Simpson relationship as a weekly episode.
Yes.
I guess.
They do a really great thing with Playing House, where, like, when the characters get really super dialed up, like, they get dialed up in ways that you don't see in other shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when Lennon Parham's character, like, was, like, talking about how she needed the house to get painted.
Oh, the nesting episode.
Like, I need to paint it because I need my baby to live in my house with me and me to be in my house with my baby. Like, I don't even know how it was phrased.
Yes.
It was just, like, so...
Because,
like,
it was 3 a.m. and she was painting the kitchen.
So perfectly, like...
I need some fig Newtons.
So, like, perfectly executed that kind of, like, gibberish. It was just, like, it's just a blast to watch.
I certainly hope you all have been watching it, because I've been, I mean, I plugged it when it started, but please continue to watch it if you have been. If you haven't been, start watching, and especially definitely watch tomorrow night live if you can.
Yeah.
All right, who's next? Let's see. It's Sarah.
Hello. This
Hi.
Is the Associate Vice President of the Nobody Cares Department. I'm reporting on Those Who Kill, a program I finally completed.
Man.
After asking some episodes ago, rather hopelessly, if I recall correctly, if anyone could name a similar program that had managed to turn it around. Well, spoiler, it didn't.
Oh.
However, this show was really frustrating because it was very much less than the sum of its parts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it had some cool character notes. It had some actors I really like who look like real people who would actually be Pittsburgh
police officers. And who I, you know, like, I always love Michael Rispoli. I always love Omid Abtahi. They didn't get quite enough to do, except sort of towards the end of the season. It was like the show finally figured out that it didn't have to be about Catherine's, like, secret cutting over goth character.
Sure.
And could actually be about a police investigation. But I discovered two things. Number one is that actor Desmond Harrington is no longer one of my kryptonites. He totally turned it around.
Hey!
Very believable.
That's impressive.
You know that Law and Order Criminal Intent that's one of the five that they rerun over and over again where he's the, like, killy cab driver who abducts the bridesmaids or whatever? Spoiler.
No.
I guess. Anyway, that's him. Okay. He's so annoying in it, and I've hated him ever since. No longer.
Good for him.
So that's a plus. And the other thing I discovered is that Michael Weston is never a good sign.
Yeah, like, he's
there's
terrible.
There's always a shark circling.
Mm-hmm.
6 feet under.
Yep.
He shows up as Benson's brother on SVU.
Mm-hmm.
House with the Huddy relationship that he got in the middle of. Like, I actually like him, but he's never, like, it's never good for the show.
No.
And, you know, case in point, Those Who Kill. Mm-hmm. This concludes the quarterly report from the Department of Nobody Cares. Next.
It's not new, but it's new to me, and boy, am I excited.
What if the history you were taught in school was all a lie?
Why
is our government controlling
our
secret society? Welcome to the world of conspiracy, where cover-ups, secrets, and hidden agendas all trace back to a single source. We're about to unseal the secret files the government doesn't want you to know about. This is Unsealed Conspiracy Files.
Yeah!
Wow.
That narrator had the time of his life that day.
Tell me about it.
He's like Job.
He is like Job.
Doing his Batman voice.
Like, the director was like, okay, here's what we're thinking. He was like, no, I know.
I know
what you want. Yeah. I know exactly what you want.
From the makers of Unsealed Alien Files, which I talked about on this show before, mm-hmm. as the cheapest show on television.
Yep.
So much so, I may remind you, that not only do they just use basically like Pond5 or videos.com or photos.com for all their, you know, Ken Burnsian stuff.
The watermarks on.
I'm not even joking. Not watermarks, but there's this one where they actually, you can see the library stamp.
From the public library where they took the page.
From India. So it's like, you know, whatever, like, you know, Calcutta library. So now they have, apparently this started last year. I didn't even know about it, but there's a whole new one. Instead of aliens, it's conspiracies. So let me just walk you through some of the episode titles to get you excited. Tara, question.
Do they tell you what everything gets traced back to a single source? What is the single
source?
We're
going to have to watch and find out.
But wait.
It's the back of the Constitution.
What? Wait a minute.
Episodes.
The Illuminati.
Let's figure it out.
Of course.
What do all these have in common? Yeah. Cloning.
Yeah.
Bigfoot.
Sure.
Stargate Portals is one of the episodes.
That's just silly.
Fake world leaders.
Wait a minute.
Zombies.
Fake, like they're just inauthentic.
Don't know. Let's watch and find out together.
They act like they're really excited to be at your party, and they badmouth you.
That was the greatest party, Tara.
This just in, Angela Merkel is a robot.
HARP around the world. We all know what the HARP program
sure,
is.
Sure.
Controlling the weather.
Yeah.
Who is the Antichrist? The New World Order kind of go hand in hand. That should be one episode, if you ask me.
Yeah. Yes.
America's Alien Wars. I'm guessing that they just are showing an episode from the first season of Unsealed Alien Files.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite, Biohazard Island. Here's a description of the episode.
Oh my God.
Okay.
There is a secret government facility accused of creating many diseases currently plaguing our country. Have we unleashed these biological weapons on purpose? And if so, is there a secret lab near you?
Is it at Trader Joe's?
Yeah.
Only George R.R. Martin knows for sure.
Yes.
Well, then you can take back the biohazards and they'll give you a refund even if it's open.
Yeah.
Final episode, one that I love because it sounds like some sort of terrible lifestyle magazine. Nazis Today.
Oh,
where are they now?
What network is this on, Dave?
It is syndicated.
Oh,
so
boy.
Check your local.
It's
even
on
better.
Every network.
I actually have seen part of the Bigfoot one.
Of
Only
course,
part
you
of
have.
It
yes,
is my husband, whose tolerance for Bigfoot programming is usually extremely high. I'm saddened to report.
Is he, a Bigfoot?
Like at minute 17, he's like, I can't.
No, the terribleness is what you have to embrace. Trust me, unsealed alien files, unsealed conspiracy files. You'll thank me later.
Yeah, I have one question for you.
Yes.
I may have dozed off during the listing of the episodes and missed this.
Yeah.
Is there an episode on chemtrails?
Oh, well, I didn't list them all. There wasn't one just on chemtrails, but I'm guessing there probably
is. That is my favorite conspiracy of all.
I'm not familiar with that.
What? How do you not know?
When planes fly over and leave lines in the sky.
Nick is only reading the respectable internet, apparently.
Planes leave, we'll call them for right now, lines in the sky. Meteorologists know them as cirrus clouds that are simply caused by the planes. Conspiracy theorists believe these are chemicals being sprayed over over areas to for mind control.
Yep.
Yeah, of course.
Pacification.
Yeah. Because
much like the fluoride in our drinking water.
Yeah, I was going to say fluoride. Like,
we're through the looking glass, people.
There is.
I can't wait until like season 17 where it's like the penny disease vector.
Well, that's what Ancient Aliens is now.
Oh, yeah. Ancient Aliens. Ancient Aliens is like what Game of Thrones is to Crod Mound Dune and the flaming sword of fire, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, that's like Ancient Aliens is like $10 million per episode. And this is like pocket change for Unsealed.
Yeah.
It really is just like one guy. He's got three accounts on various, like, you know, stock film, you know, things on the internet. He just goes nuts. It's great. Watch it. Unsealed.
Okay.
Both series.
I'm on board.
Nick.
So speaking of shows that are delightful, I wanted to mention Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, which I am really loving. I've not had a chance to see last night's episode yet because I was busy writing about Game of Thrones.
But it was terrible. It was the same.
a lot of great stuff has already been written about it. I agree that it takes the best of The Daily Show and makes it even better. Well, they did take Tim Carvel, who is the head writer of The Daily Show, and I think the fact that they have a whole week to work on it, that they can do stories that aren't necessarily like breaking news, they can delve deeper into things. It's great. John Oliver is a delight. The show just looks great. Like, it looks just so solid.
What I like about it a lot is that you can tell that John Oliver has not lived in America all his life, because you can tell his influence when they do stories, say on the Indian election or, you know, the FIFA thing. Like, here's like, you know, Americans should like watch world news for like, they should like have a world news.
Oh, yeah.
Like a month where they pledge not to watch American news, but they'll just watch whatever. Like, I mean, they're all terrible in a certain way, but at least when you watch BBC World News or something like that, you will see so many different stories you never knew were news outside of the 50 states.
Homeland Security's here to take our green cards back.
It's just more important by definition.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do enjoy that it's not, you can't compare the stuff they cover with Daily Show.
Yeah.
Right?
No. Right.
You're not going to get the same story different ways. You're gonna
I would like to request that he stopped doing the boom thing where he like punched, which stole from
Daily Show.
From the Daily Show, and which I feel like the Daily Show should stop doing it also.
Yes.
But it's for some
long
reason,
list of things the Daily Show should stop, or Jon Stewart should stop doing
it. It seems even less appropriate in the show. But I agree with you. It's it really is a really well done show.
Yeah, the only other thing I would say is sometimes those little interstitial things when there's like a now this, sometimes they're like,
they're the weakest part of the show.
Yeah.
Although, hate the opening credits.
Oh, I like the opening credits. Huh?
I like the way they look a lot because it appeals to my, but I never noticed that they were doing the Roadrunner Coyote Latin joke thing on all of them, which is, it's kind of hacky. But
I'm sorry. You're right, guys. The show sucks. Delete.
We've watched every episode. Oh, no. We do like it.
We've just removed all of Nick's self-esteem.
Jeff, did you have something for us?
I do.
Okay.
And I'm not very far into it, but I'd like to talk about Orange is the New Black. Here's what I would like to say about Orange is the New Black season 2. Only 3 episodes in, but I would like to say that I had a very singular experience with Orange is the New Black season 1, which was, even now, I don't think there's an episode I could be like, oh, you want to get into this show? Mm-hmm. Watch this episode. Where I, and even for like half of it, I was just sort of like watching it like, yeah, I mean, I'm sort of interested to find out. But then by the end of it, like the sum total of the season, I was like, that was a great show.
Yep.
But like, just in, it's the weirdest. There's not another show I can think of where I watched it and I had that kind of reaction where it was like, there wasn't a single week where I was like, okay, now I'm fully on board. I'd never felt fully on board until the very end of the season.
You know those terrible posters that are like every scene from a movie in different colors, and when you pan back, it's like, oh, it's Darth Vader's head made out of all the stills of, you know, it's sort of like that, you know, where it's like, it's a mosaic that you can only appreciate when you view from a distance.
Right, so then the new season starts, and the first episode, which, first episode I thought was far and away, and again, I've only seen three of this season, far and away to me, the best episode of the show, period. Like, I thought
this is the Piper in Chicago.
Piper, like, she doesn't know, like, immediately it's like, it's just like, it's like that storytelling 101. Like, it starts in the middle, like, you don't know what's going on. You're sort of in it with her. Where is she going? Nobody will tell her anything. She's like, it's all of this. And then, you know, it sort of plays out in the way that reminds you of what's kind of weirdly compelling about the show, which is you find her, like, she is not meant to be charming. Mm-mm. She's like, she is meant to be like annoying. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and you're just like, Piper, you fucking idiot. Like, always, like, you're just like such an idiot. And like, she just constantly is just like undoing herself. Like, so, and it was just like at the end, I was like, oh yeah, that's what this show is. And that's like, it's part of what I feel like kind of pushes me away from it, but then also, like, it draws me back to it because it's like, there's no other show that kind of does this.
The other thing that's interesting about that episode is that it brings into play the idea of, like, this crime organization is still doing crime and, like, there may be repercussions for her and or Alex at some point in the future. But it's like, when you watch the show, you never think about that at all. Like, it's so, you're so in the prison.
Yeah.
It's, you barely remember, like, there's ever going to be a time. I mean, not so much with her because she only has a short sentence, but it's like, why would they seek reprisal for her now? Like, it seems so ethereal, that part of her story.
Yeah, I do like that. It's like, you know, when you hear, like, in the news or something, somebody got like an 18-month sentence, you're like, oh, that's not bad. But then you watch this show and you're like, I would not want to be there for 18 months. No. That sounds terrible.
No.
Yeah, one thing I'll say about this season, and I'll leave it vague to not give any spoilers, but like, the thing that is interesting about it is that they've gotten away from making it really mostly about Piper, which is nice because, you know, they've got an amazing cast of supporting characters and you really want to learn more about them and, you know, get to know their backstories and stuff. But I thought the most compelling thing about the first season was like her character arc over the course of that season and how surprising it was. And they don't have that this season because they're not tracking her as closely. So, I mean, it's like, they've kind of reinvented the show, which is a nice thing, but it's also like, I don't feel as fully like emotionally engaged as I did with the first one.
It's interesting.
All right. I thought
that went over great. That went over great, guys.
Hi, Extra Hot Great. This is Jermaine from New York. I am so excited you brought the podcast and canon back because I had been planning on submitting this when you were in your first incarnation. My entry is Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose, X-Files Season 3, Episode 4. This episode guest stars Peter Boyle as the titular character, a role that won him a well-deserved Emmy. Clyde Bruckman is an insurance salesman, a lonely sad sack, and someone who can see the future. Actually, he doesn't see the future per se, just how people are going to die. This quote-unquote gift does not endear him to many people, including the young husband he is trying to sell a life insurance policy.
So General Mutual has a very comprehensive $200,000 life policy at a net annual cost of $2,400.
You see, the thing is, we were really hoping to buy a boat.
Mr. Gordon, as a young husband, I think you're going to find that your new responsibilities to your family take precedence over your recreational needs.
But this is a really good boat.
You don't get it, do you, kid? 2 years from now, while driving down Route 91, coming home to your wife and baby daughter, you're going to want to be hit head-on by a drunk. Driving a blue 87 Mustang. You'll end up looking worse than 60 feet of bad road your body slides across after flying out your front windshield.
Mister, you really need to work on your closing technique.
After Bruckman finds a body in a dumpster, the agents interview him and he reveals information not known to the public.
According to the police report, Mr. Bruckman, you didn't touch the body after you found her.
Why would I want to?
But you reported that you found a body with its eyes cut out. The body was face down. If you didn't move it, how did you know the eyes had been removed?
Well, they had been, hadn't they? Then what are you complaining about?
How had the eyes been cut out?
By a piece of crystal ball of all cockamamie things.
We did find some crystal shards on the body. How do you know it was from a crystal ball?
Well, it just figures. I mean, if a guy goes to kill a fortune teller, he's obviously going to assault her with their own crystal ball and use a shattered piece as a sort of lance. Isn't he?
Mr. Bruckman, how much have you heard about the recent slayings in town?
Just that some nut is going around killing fortune tellers and ripping their eyes and entrails out.
How did you know about the entrails? That information hasn't been released to the press.
I never read the papers. Too depressing.
Of course, Mulder immediately thinks Bruckman is a psychic, and of course, Scully is skeptical. Bruckman reluctantly agrees to help the agents, but as time goes by, Mulder starts to lose faith in the man, while Scully starts to have sympathy for him. The three travel together to the woods looking for a body, and in the car, Mulder and Bruckman have a very fast and funny exchange about ways people can die.
You know, there are worse ways to go, but I can't think of a more undignified one than autoerotic asphyxiation.
Why are you telling me that?
Look, forget I mentioned it. It's none of my business.
They do find the body, based on information Bruckman can see through some kind of connection to the killer. For his own safety, the agents have Clyde leave his apartment and stay in a hotel under the care of another agent named Chavez. Eventually, Clyde and the killer do meet, and things wind up quickly from there.
Was that not enough of a tip?
They brought you right to me, right to where I work.
What are the chances of that happening?
They're astronomical. It's beyond believability.
But not impossibility. I mean, after all, here we are.
It's funny how things work out sometimes, isn't it?
I'll say.
So there's something I've wanted to ask you for some time now. You've seen the things I do in the past as well as in the future.
They're terrible things.
I know they are. So tell me, please, why have I done them?
Don't you understand yet, son? Don't you get it? You do the things you do because you're a homicidal maniac.
That does explain a lot, doesn't it? It's all starting to make sense now.
No. You don't kill me now.
I don't. Why not?
How should I know?
I think this episode is a good submission for the following reasons. One, since it's a standalone, even a casual viewer could watch and follow the plot. There is no mythology to bog anything down. All you need to know is there are these two FBI agents that investigate the paranormal. He's a believer, she's a skeptic. Two, the episode is very funny, but also sad and dark, which is a great combination. You can laugh at several parts, but still get teary-eyed at the last scene with Clyde and Scully. The show also focuses on many familiar themes such as destiny versus free will, why we do the things we do, and if we can change our nature. Last but not least, Peter Boyle's performance is fantastic. He truly makes you believe he is this character, and you have real empathy for him. So that's it. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enter this into the canon.
Thank you so much for the submission. I love this episode. I think for all the reasons that you mentioned here, Peter Boyle, I believe, won a guest Emmy.
He did.
Yeah, she said that.
For this. Yeah, and deservedly so. He is also funny and sad at the same time, just like the episode. My favorite thing about this episode is the running gag with the Pomeranian, obviously. Both the note he leaves about the dog and the way that Gillian Anderson reads it. He's like, does anyone want a dog? And then she ends up with the dog, like, of all breeds for Scully to have, a little fluffy Pomeranian.
Queequeg.
Yes, makes me laugh. And it's full of, this is my favorite kind of X-Files episode, like the, whatever, myth arc stuff I always kind of half-watched because don't care. I liked more, like, different kinds of paranormal stuff more. But so I liked this one a lot, and I liked that there were a lot of little editing touches. Like there was one cut from the tarot card that's death to the dead man's hand, which is a full house, aces over eights, which I thought was a neat little thing. Yeah, this was really fun to revisit, and it's really a good hour of TV.
Yeah, I agree. I remember when I watched this the first time, how much I enjoyed the autoerotic asphyxiation line and the ongoing Mulder sort of porn illusions. And the fact that they did it just as like a quirky character trait and never really explored it more than like, yeah, here's this weird FBI agent that, you know, it's got some things going on we never see. And he's kind of a weirdo.
Yeah.
And I believe this is like the first time I remember thinking, oh, this is, you know, they're having fun with it in a way that, you know, is great. And Peter Boyle, wow, what a great performance in this. You know, if you only know him from like Everybody Loves Raymond or something like that, you know, check this out, if only to change your mind, you know, about what he can do with good material. I remember really liking the mythology stuff in the moment, but I think if I were to rewatch the series, I would probably just do the Monster of the Week rewatch. Because like shows like Lost, you know, it kind of collapsed under its own weight of, you know, adding things to the pile without taking anything out. So when you do episodes like this, and this is only a third season episode, so you know, they're still having a lot of fun with introducing new topics. You know, they weren't suffering yet from the Simpsons Treehouse of Terror problem where they done everything. Did all the spooky stuff. So now what? I think this is one of the best episodes like that, along with Home, which we've already inducted into the canon. That's the you don't know the love.
Yeah.
Pride.
Speaking of incest.
Yeah. So, yeah, great, great episode. I think it's the only problem I had with this episode, like real problem, is I thought the ending scene was sort of tacked on and wasn't really as much of a button. This is the one where Scully is watching the ad for Yappy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She throws a shoe or something like that at the screen. It just was like they never really set him up. He was just like it was sort of a weak bookend instead of sort of being like a good throughput. That's all.
Well, that actor was Duchovny's stand-in, apparently.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So
he has a great mug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eyebrow work. But yeah, I agree about that button. It was too slow.
Yeah,
didn't work. But yeah.
Yeah. So this is definitely one of my favorites, if not the favorite episode of X-Files. I have rewatched it a few times over the years, and I was very happy to watch it again now. It reminded me of how like X-Files was not that tight of a show. Like it was kind of a container for telling stories and there was a lot of room for doing different kinds of episodes. And like, it wasn't tightly serialized, but it also wasn't like exactly a procedural per se. It wasn't like they were every episode, like went through these different stages of investigation. It was just like, here's a story. It's going to involve these characters. It's going to be about something supernatural. And, Peter Boyle is fantastic. The tone of it is so great and it really holds up, that it's funny and it's, you know, it's wistful and it's suspenseful, but it's not cheesy. And
oh, I just remembered the other thing I wanted to complain about, which was the totally 90s special effects of the dream sequence where Peter Boyle is recalling his own decomposition.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
that was
wow. Yeah.
That was something that made
bar mitzvah video.
That made the Last Crusade morph of the dead guy look good.
Yeah, it really did. Yeah.
What was I gonna say? The only like dated thing that strikes out to me watching it now is how, like, the score is just in every moment. Mm. There never stops being music.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe one of the reasons is, like, TV was just not, like, cinematic back then. Like, people were watching it on, like, a 13-inch screen.
This episode is so non-cinematic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's just, you know, people were watching it on a small square screen. So, like, to make it more atmospheric, they had to kind of add sound elements. Right. Although on the cinematic front, I do like the fact that this was when they were still shooting it in Vancouver and they could have a lot of variety of locations. Whereas once they moved to LA, it was desert every week. So, but yeah, just a great episode.
The other thing that dates it are Scully's ugly outfits.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Her stupid shoes.
The white tights this time.
Well, they'd already improved. Yeah, at this point,
that's
from '93. Yeah,
that's true.
Suit. She comes through the door with
all
a gun.
Of her suits.
It's like a weird. Like, ugh, I was like, terrible. I don't understand.
Horrible.
Jackets are so. I mean, see, she's so short. Like, give her a shorter jacket. It's just cruel.
Yeah.
Anyway, obviously, this is a great episode. It's like, you know, consistently on everybody's top 10 list, and justly so.
Yeah.
I don't really have that much to add. It's Peter Boyle is so heartbreaking in this part, and when he Mulder asks him, when he's explaining, you know, his view of his visions and stuff, and Mulder says, well, if the future is already written, why bother doing anything? And Peter Boyle's like, now you're getting it. Yeah, like, it's so exactly, that's why this guy is how he is. And I would just
the things that he, because of that, like the things he gets most excited about is his visions, is the type of pie that's on the floor, and he goes back and forth between those
banana cream. Darren Morgan, who wrote this episode, is also a consultant, at least in the early goings. I've seen his name on Fringe, which I am watching now. And Fringe is, if you enjoy The X-Files and really miss it, you've probably already watched Fringe, but I'm enjoying the fringy aspects of it. And especially this episode is, with the, you know, sad, weird older man haunted by his past mistakes or whatever circumstances, that kind of character lives on in Walter Bishop.
Should mention that you're doing a marathon.
I am. Diary. I'm doing a marathon diary on previously.tv. So, it's going slowly cause I have a lot of other TV to watch, but I'm plugging away. So yeah, check that out.
I am not an X-Files watcher. This is probably the third episode I've ever seen of it, or fourth.
What were you doing in the 90s? In the early 90s?
Drugs.
Not watching.
Hanging out with friends?
Not watching, I guess. Yeah.
Drinking.
Enjoying barbecue?
I did, you know, I did go see the first movie in the theater, which is the worst
weird choice to make if you didn't
watch the show. First taste of Twin Peaks, which was Fire and Walk With Me.
Yeah.
Also a bad move.
Yeah. Nope. And so, like, I was like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, you know, when it was like, you know, which episode to choose? It's like, pick any X-Files episode. I don't care. I'm sure I haven't seen it. But no, it was, I mean, of course the first striking thing is these opening credits are the worst.
They're appalling.
Oh my god, they're terrible.
We were talking about them before we started recording.
I remember the theme song, and when the theme song started again, I was like, this is a good theme song for this show.
Yeah.
Like I haven't seen the show, but I'm fully aware of what the show is about and all that. And I mean, they're just laughably bad. They just look, they're terrible. There's no pace to them.
No.
And then suddenly there's like.
Government denies knowledge.
Near the end, there's that slow motion footage, or like stop frame footage of them coming through a door.
That's my favorite. It's
just
shot,
like.
It's like on the video monitor. It's
Yeah.
And the guy who's like screaming and they
twist
warp his face. Can I just say something about credits? If you have a show where inside the credits you are using keywords and phrases on the screen, fuck you. Go back to the drawing board and figure out how to solve that problem visually without using signs, words, newspaper clippings, anything like that. It's lazy.
I already mentioned this before we started recording as one of your complaints about Fringe.
Also, I have a couple other questions about the what's up with the palm print and the one little thing is red.
Yeah.
Or it's all blue and one's red, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of puzzles. And what's that thing where it's mirrored and there's like a tongue
coming
out?
That's
what
I said.
what is a little that snail thing? or I don't know something. Yeah.
Dave was not in the room when we were having this exact conversation.
You've had this conversation without me? Okay.
Yes, all we did.
No, and this is the credits without it. This is pre the truth is out there.
Yeah.
The truth was still inside somewhere.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this is we're in a whole new world.
It's in a crate with holes in it.
Yeah. We're in a whole new world because, in my opinion, like the Game of Thrones opening credits, I will just watch with fascination every week because I'm like, amazing are these credits?
If someone had made those credits just by themselves, even with no show attached to it, it'd be one of the most amazing things ever.
Are you watching the Game of Thrones credits this week? Yes. Yeah. Oh, they brought in a new city. What happens in it? I'm not going to spoil the surprise.
the coin rolling
there's a
in.
There's a temple.
You know, everybody said it. Like, Peter Boyle is just, look, he's been an amazing actor forever. Like, in movies and, like, and let's not overlook Young Frankenstein, people, because he is amazing in it. But anyway, there's that. I love the autoerotic asphyxiation thing. I'll love it even more when that ends up being David Duchovny's death. You know,
maybe that's how his Californication guy is going to die.
Oh, please, please. And shockingly, that show is still on.
If it means I have to watch Californication to find out, no deal.
Deal breaker. This is a great episode in that, like, as somebody who has... like, I've got no stake in this show at all. I have no fascination with the Scully and Mulder. Like, you know, I know there's like a raft of fan fiction of like, will they or won't they? And here they are doing it. Like, I have no, like, you know, but...
Who's in the corner watching? It's the little dog.
It is interesting, though, like, for me, like, when this show was on, like, I sort of, I liked him more, and now that the show is over, I like her, especially after seeing The Fall.
Yeah.
She's great in that. And, like, I just find him sort of reprehensible. But
he's also, to quote Futurama, history's greatest acting robot.
It's true. But it's like this is a really cool episode because it, like, for somebody coming in really fresh, it's like you really don't know what's going on at the beginning. Because you don't know what the connection between the killer and Peter Boyle is. It's such a weird connection anyway that it's like you're not sure how it's... Like, I kept checking the time remaining because I was like, how is this going to wrap up? Like, it didn't seem like it was possible. And I thought the casting of... I didn't pay attention to who the actor was who played the homicidal maniac. But he's great, too.
He is great.
Like, that face is so unexpected. Like, he looks like he should be in a cat litter commercial.
It's really... It's great that he pulled it off, but also like genius of the casting director to like, you know, and the director and the producers to like hire that guy. It's just a really, you know, and it's, I mean, I don't care about the mythos episodes, you know, I don't care to find out like what's the big grand conspiracy. And as you know, ultimately they never really tied that all together in my opinion, but.
And you're better off just watching that Conspiracy Files show that they have to watch.
Exactly. That's where that one comes in.
Cliff Notes.
You know, so this is like, there's a lot of great touches and moments. I mean, I have a problem with the end scene also that Dave brought up where like what I was expecting was some further like reveal, like the homicidal maniac guy was in it or I don't know, I think in my head I was like, oh, why is this tagged on here? And it's basically tagged on there for her to like, for the misdirect of, oh, is she going to call him? No, she throws the phone at it.
Yeah.
The gigantic phone that she throws.
Yeah.
So like, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I obviously they're just going for a little grin at the end and that's fine. But I mean, otherwise then I do kind of have like, I was like, why does he kill himself at the end? Sort of
sad.
Like, just
doesn't make the burden
sad
of his vision with it.
Yeah, I mean that I, you know, I sort of that just felt weird to me.
I saw the character as like he realized he has this ability. He doesn't say no. He realizes that, you know, he can use it, but at the same time hates. That he kind of feels like he hates that he feels like he has to use it when people ask,
right.
You know what
right.
I mean? And it's just like, it's whatever, the guy's 67 or whatever.
Right. I mean, I guess I can understand like sort of in general, like why it'd be like this terrible burden or whatever. But like in the context of the episode, I'm sort of like, well, why now?
Right.
You know? And so it's like, there's no sort of like, here's the tipping point.
The
thing
scene where he has the dream should have sort of spoke more to that, I think.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been, like, if they manage to build upon that to tie it in more to do some sort of real world dream world tie-in, then I think it would have worked a bit better, perhaps.
Also, he says to the killer, he says, "You don't kill me now,"
yeah,
which implies that he kills him later. Right. To me, anyway, it's not like as opposed to "You don't kill me," which I kill myself. Right. Like obviously, he's
don't kill me.
Yeah. And so, but that. Because to me, to find him, he's been wounded by the killer and he's bleeding out in his bed and that whole scene plays out. That to me, that's where I felt like it was going. Mm-hmm. That said, it's hard to find grand fault with this because it's a really rare episode of television where, really I was like, I don't know where this is going exactly. I don't know how this is going to play out. I can't see where it's going to go. So, I mean, it's, it's a really solid piece of TV, I think.
I also love, I forgot to say this earlier, when Scully asks how she's going to die and he says, you don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
That could mean so many different things. It's just him. He doesn't want to tell her or it's Darren Morgan being like, write your way out of this one, fuckers.
Yeah. I'm only here part time.
They didn't linger on it.
Yeah.
They didn't make a big show of cutting away from it. It was just very a perfect touch on that.
I thought so too. That's maybe my favorite moment.
And Jeff, as somebody new, I would say if you enjoyed sort of this episode, the other one to check out that definitely would recommend along the same vein is Jose Chung's From Outer Space, which is also
written by Darren Morgan.
Yep. Yeah, co-signed
with Charles Nelson Reilly
and Jesse Ventura.
Oh, you guys and Alex Trebek podcast.
It's already in the it's in the canon. Yeah.
That one's good. And Home is another good standalone, also in the canon, but it's on that's the my creepy.
Yeah, I can't. Funny. That one loses me because of how creepy and
it's really creepy
and stuff it is.
I do like creepy.
Yeah, it's
I remember
good.
When
those
we
are two ones to check.
I'm sure I mentioned it when we inducted that one into the canon, but when we lived here the first time in 1997. FX did a marathon of the X-Files. This is the only way you could rewatch shows in those days, guys.
Yeah.
This was before they were even on, series would come out on VHS really that much. But it was a Thanksgiving Day marathon of, the fan favorite episodes. And obviously both of Jose Chung and this one were in it, and Home was number one. I think that was the first time they ever had rerun it because it was so upsetting to people that it would be left out of the rotation in syndication.
Another one is Small Potatoes, in which Darren Morgan, who wrote this one, actually acts in that one as a guy who can shapeshift. And I'm not going to give anything
that's
else away, but
too.
It's a really fun one.
Now you have some homework, Jeff.
Yes, hooray.
All right, so let's put this to a vote in New York. Sarah?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Tara?
Yes.
Nick?
Hell yes.
All right, me too. 5 for 5. X-Files Season 3, Episode 4, Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose. You are hereby inducted into the Extra Hot Great Canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yeah.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
It's time for Winner and Loser of the Week. Oh, and Nick, you have our winner.
I do. Our two winners, Natasha Leggero and Ricky Lindholm, two very, very funny female comedians who have created a show for Comedy Central that is being picked up. It takes place in early 20th century Newport, Rhode Island. They play sisters who are socialites who are trying to get famous in a time when you could not be a YouTube celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And the show is called Another Period. And if you think that is a body play on words, you are absolutely right. That is exactly how both of them roll.
I don't get it.
We'll tell you after the show.
Okay.
Show you some anatomy drawings, Jeff. But it's also, I think Ben Stiller is in his company or executive producers on it.
And that's good because they also produce Burning Love. So they have a good TV track record then.
Yeah.
And it is being directed by Jeremy Connor, who directs the Drunk History episode. So he's he's clearly someone who can do period on a budget, which is exactly what I'm sure they're going to need on this. So
yes.
I think that I'm very much looking forward to that.
And Loser of the Week, Sarah?
Well, sort of. I Want to Marry Harry has been canceled.
What?
Which, first of all, the episodes are up on Fox.com and Hulu. So the three other people who are watching, could still see it. The other good news is that I'm going to keep covering it, and Woo! Heather at Go Fug Yourself will also be covering it, which means that fully half the viewership is writing about the show. But I would like to say that I think some of the pearl clutching about how tacky and whatever self-xenophobic and horrible the show was a little excessive. That it's like, this is set back Anglo-American relations, but like, guys, it's Fox. The yeah. swan has already come and gone.
It's true. Yeah.
The worst has happened. The guy really does look like Prince Harry. What do you want Seacrest to do? Work for a living?
Yeah.
Come on. Everybody calm down. Also, Megan's rubber face is awesome. Please check out previously.tv for
many screen
one of the
grabs.
Finest screen grabs of my career, which I may get as a tattoo because it's such a WTF face. I love it. It's like, what's wrong with you? I'll just point to her face on my bicep.
Do you guys know what time it is?
No.
Game time?
Oh.
Time to poop in Westeros?
Oh! It's game time.
Safe thing.
Excuse me while I pull out my first game time props.
Whoa, ooh. How's this going to work?
Let's see. This is the third game time of the season. Tara won the first game.
Yep.
Joe won the second game for the value guest column.
Indeed.
Since we have four people in today's game time, we are going to revisit Secret Code Word, a game that pits guests versus hosts.
Mm. Maybe I'll be marginally less terrible this time.
In Ooh. Secret Code Word, each team has a clue giver and a guesser. The clue giver will be given a show or TV-related word, and they can give the guesser a one-word clue that is not, one, the name of the show, two, a rhyme or something like that.
Okay.
Three, a form or piece of the secret code word itself.
Okay.
Can't change the tense or drop a whatever, you know. So basically this is, say, like, you if imagine you were... these as a password of some sort.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Getting a picture.
A violation of any of these rules results in a point for the other team. Mm. Okay. Teams alternate giving the clues. So if team one gives a clue, does not get the answer, the other team gives a clue. We go back and forth until somebody guesses it correctly.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yep.
All right. The team that goes first has the option of passing. So if you look at the word and you think, I cannot get this in one clue, I don't think my partner is going to be able to guess it, you have the option of passing it to the other team to give the first clue. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Can you do that sort of?
Just only on the first time.
Okay.
Yeah.
But throughout the game.
Throughout the game. That's right. Each new question.
Each new word.
Each round starts with the team that lost the last point. All right. So for those here in LA, since Jeff and Nick are a team, well, Jeff is the neck. Don't flip him. We're going to give you the cue card stack, and we're going to give Tara the other stack.
Nope. I was going to pass it.
I don't want any contamination. For Sarah
of impropriety.
In New York City, I will be giving you your names via Skype. So check out the Skype window for yours when it's time for you to give them to Tara. But that was a lot of information. Does everybody understand what's going on?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Sarah and I are one team.
That's right. Okay. Nick and Jeff are the other team. Our clue givers for the first chunk are going to be Tara and Nick.
And Dave is your team member, Gordon?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So are we ready to play Secret Code Word?
Sure.
Yes.
All right. The guests are going to go first. You can flip your first cards. Oh, by the way, if you want to play along, but you want the clues, go to the forum link and I'll put all the answers there so you can play along knowing what the clues are.
Fun.
Okay. Stark.
Oh. Game of Thrones. It's one word, right?
One word.
Ned.
No. Incorrect.
Okay.
Have your clues ready, people.
I'm trying to think of something that's going to make Sarah get this. Okay. Westeros.
Kingdom.
Incorrect.
Good guess, though.
Tree.
No, I got it. Go.
Okay.
Tara.
Summer.
Fall.
So close.
Incorrect. Back to Nick.
It was very passwordy.
Always.
Winter.
I can't do, do password clues with, but you can't see me. Winter.
Spring?
No.
Last attempt.
Blank.
Coming?
Oh. Eve?
Summer's Eve. Last one for Tara.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. She's not going to get it. Place.
The answer was Winterfell.
No!
Winterfell. Tough one to start off with. All right. So now, question number two. Tara starts.
Okay.
This isn't so much a single word. I'll just give you that. It's sort of a...
Agency.
CIA.
Incorrect.
Good guess, though.
What? I can't think of anything.
Back to Tara.
You can't say character names, right?
You can.
Can? Yeah. Arvin.
Oh, yeah, that's what I
said.
What the hell's
the name of it?
I know,
SB6.
I did. Yes!
Oh. That's our first point.
Yeah, I couldn't think of Sloane's name.
I will be getting harder on the time now that you guys got the idea of the flow. Here we go. Number three. Back to Nick.
Reynolds.
Ryan.
Incorrect.
Ship.
Love Boat.
No.
Mal.
Firefly.
Incorrect.
Firefly.
Cannot use the name of the show.
Oh.
Point lost. Point
Damn it.
To them.
Sorry, Sarah.
All right,
That's
so now right. it's a 1-1 game.
It was allowed if he said it.
What was there? It was
Serenity.
Oh, Serenity.
Yeah, the ship's name from Firefly, also the name of the movie. Tara got classic word.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. All right, number four. So now, Tara, you're starting since you lost the point.
Okay. We all remember what happened, Dave.
I'm explaining it for the benefit of...
Okay, Sarah.
Yes.
Michael.
Kit.
Yeah!
Oh, man!
Yeah.
What?
Fuck off,
nice
guys!
Pronunciation.
Thank
there were
you?
Some brainwave passings back and forth. Yeah.
That would have been my guess.
All right, number five. Nick, starting. Just to remind you, you have the ability to pass the first clue.
Prison.
Orange.
Incorrect.
Connecticut.
Sorry,
I think that was wrong anyway.
Name.
Piper.
Incorrect. Tara.
She doesn't know it. She just said. She knows what I'm trying to tell her.
But. All right, one more for Nick.
Location.
New York.
Incorrect. We're looking for the name of the prison from Orange is the New Black.
Litchfield
prison.
Yeah.
That was a tough one.
I guess Ridgefield.
Very close. Very all right.
Cloverfield.
Number six. This is same as so. It's Nick starting.
Okay. I'm going to pass this one.
Okay.
Strong. Smart move. Maybe. I can think of one word.
Eyebrow?
Remember, the answers are one word as well.
The answers are one word. Eyebrow. Race.
Oh!
Incorrect.
No, but you're on.
Table talk.
Portmanteau.
Wow.
Jeez. Sorry.
I win the game just for saying that, right?
You're a portmanteau.
Oh.
Stop.
Roadblock.
No.
Correct.
Last.
Final.
Nope.
Out.
Pit stop.
Incorrect. Last clue for Nick.
Gone.
Shit. Lost.
I just got it.
Ejected.
Filiminated.
Yeah. Oh!
What?
Filiminated.
It's the act of getting eliminated by Phil Cohagan in The Amazing Race is filmination.
Never.
Just Cohagan.
Cohagan. Give these people pit stops.
Yeah.
Cohagan.
I saw Quato at the gym again today.
Oh, never would have gotten that.
All right, so here's our last one before we switch teams. Number seven.
Oh, dear. Okay. okay. I'm still going to pass.
Leaky.
Dyad.
Yeah!
Wow.
What?
That was
from
nice.
Orphan Black.
Life Brain.
I don't even know if you watched that.
The Dyad Institute.
So behind. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, surprising no one, the wives have 4 points, and Nick and Jeff are
and now we're
looking to get on the board.
Okay, so give Jeff the pile.
No, wait,
Tara,
they
do
have
not
a point,
look at the pile.
They?
No. Did you guys get a point?
Oh, wait, well, you. There was one where you...
Yes, you got
oh,
a point.
I'm sorry.
You got a point. They got a point for your...
I apologize.
It was a massive fuck-up.
I fucked up Serenity, so they got a point.
Nice
that's right.
Try.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So, that point went to the wives. So, Jeff, you will be starting this one. Sarah, you have your clue.
Friend.
Ross.
Incorrect.
Hospital.
Friend, hospital.
Back to Jeff.
Uniform.
Scrubs?
Incorrect.
Person.
JD?
Incorrect.
Nickname.
Turk?
Incorrect. Last clue. Last clues. Last clues.
Can we recycle clues?
Oh, wait. This is not the last clue because they started.
Can you recycle clues? She wants to know.
Yes. Yes, you may.
Nickname?
Can be fast retirement.
Sorry.
Now, this is the last clue for your team.
Longer.
Oh, I just got it.
Oh, well, that's good because you got another
one. I think.
Turkman?
I think I know it, but go ahead, Sarah.
Nickname?
Turkleton.
Oh. I'm so sorry. Thank you for just getting that.
All right.
I didn't even
one.
Remember that was his full name.
Yeah.
It's not. That's what yeah. the
oh,
old
was...
guy calls him.
Oh, okay. Right.
Kind of muddied the waters
it's
with
been
the
too
nickname.
Long since I've...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that point was for the wives, so now we're back to Jeff. Mm. Here we go. Number 9.
Alien.
Alien is a clue. Nick ponders. Gonna need an answer.
It was a very nice golf announcer voice there. Cool. You got a future in this business.
Thank you.
Cats.
Alf.
Should have passed.
Yeah, you should have passed that one.
Passed.
All right,
guys. So. Melmac.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Achmonic, right?
Achmonic,
you got
yes.
it, didn't you? Quit editing me.
Seriously, I'm getting notes
that was to
here.
Him, not you.
Guys! Oh, no. Guys, I'm trying to help you lose is what I want to do. Pass.
Mm. Holmes.
House. Is that not correct?
No, it is not correct. Sorry, I'm just waiting for Jeff to give the perfect clue.
Brother.
Mycroft.
Yes, we earned one!
Nicely done.
All right, so let's give Sarah her next clue. A little slow, thanks to having to use two computers. And Sarah, you are
so
going
I
to...
So I begin.
You
okay.
begin this one.
Remind Graph.
Rayanne.
Yeah, buddy.
What show is that from?
My So-Called Life.
Oh.
Rayanne Graph.
We were spared a very awkward round of
some name, a lady.
All right, here we go. Jeff will be starting number 12.
Pass.
Oh.
We can do this.
All right, Sarah, your clue.
Okay, sorry. Robot.
Bender.
Sorry.
Incorrect. Very, very inconsistent with what I buzz on and what I don't.
Giant.
What's your answer, Nick?
I don't know.
Oh. Back to Sarah. Clue for Tara.
Movie.
No, this isn't right, but Godzilla. That's all I got.
Incorrect.
Robot.
Transformers?
Incorrect.
Oh.
Evil.
Oh, Meg... Oh, what's his name? Megatron?
Incorrect.
Shit.
Here we go. Last clues.
Name.
Decepticon?
Incorrect. All right. Last clue, Sarah.
Name.
All right. Wait. Don't say it. Don't say it. Let me give. Let me. Lions. Lions.
They get one more. He passed, so Sarah went first. Don't they get one more?
Okay. Come on. Also, enjoy Lions.
Apparently didn't help.
The evil.
I don't think this is what you guys think it is, honestly.
I don't think it is either.
All right. Here's Lions.
Voltron?
Voltron is correct.
Oh.
Also, what are they? Defender would have been good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, I was thinking, I was thinking Voltron until... Who said movie? Because there was never... Was there a Voltron movie?
No, I don't think so. No.
I didn't think it was a Transformer, but I get very confused.
All right, so that is a point for the Team Bros.
Yep.
And now we're on number 13. And starting with Sarah.
Margarine.
Parquet?
Nope.
Brand.
Might want to get off the food product train.
Not sure we can. Brand. The blind, cluing the blind here. Sorry.
Margarine was the first clue, right?
Yeah. Correct. Gonna need an answer.
Okay. Butter?
Nope.
Jewish?
What?
Promise?
Oh, that's a great... It was a great clue, wasn't it, Sarah?
It was.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep being a great clue. Jewish?
Can I ask the clue givers, do you know what this is?
No.
I don't know.
Oh, well.
All right, well, good luck. One last clue, then.
Okay. Kosher?
Nope.
These are valiant guesses, by the way.
Name.
That's incorrect. That is correct.
Goldberg?
All right, last one. Here we go. Then I will give a run and see what happens. So far, we've had margarine, brand, Jewish, name.
Okay. And once more into the breach with Jewish.
I don't know who's maybe Jewish. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I think maybe Jewish because they don't know what it's from. All right. Here's a clue. Sicily.
Don't they get one more?
No. We had last clue.
Oh, him.
Sicily.
Oh, Joel Fleischman?
Yep.
Aha.
From what show?
Northern Exposure.
Right.
Northern Exposure. There's
Fleischman margarine. Yeah.
Yep. That's a thing.
Sorry, we're the worst.
No.
Oh, boy.
All right. So here we go. Our last one before we'll switch teams again. It's going to be a long game time.
A long game time, guys.
All right. So that point went to nobody. So who started the last one?
Sarah.
I think I did.
All right. So there you go. There's your one. Do you know what this is from?
No.
Yes,
you.
I do.
No, okay.
Wait. I'm going to give a clue. Jeff definitely doesn't know what this is from. He definitely doesn't know what show this is from.
Nope.
How is that a clue? Okay.
All right, go
it's
ahead.
A clue to my
go ahead,
part.
It's the No Jeff Salad
May
show.
May I do my job?
Yes.
Gunman.
Lone.
Incorrect. Jeff.
Hairstyle.
Frobisher.
Nope. Sarah.
Spinoff.
Nope. Nothing.
Walk.
I understand all these clues knowing what the answer is.
Frolic?
Nope.
Name.
Carter?
Nope.
Together.
I can't remember the dudes. I mean, I know what you're... Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, here we go. Last clue for Sarah.
Glasses.
Last clue for Nick.
Oh, I get one more?
Isn't it not right?
Sure.
Yeah, Sarah went first.
Yes.
Nature.
Oh, Froica!
What?
It's Frohickey.
Frohickey?
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I was trying to... Yeah.
I'm gonna put it out.
You're going to buzz that? That's
why is you going to give
it.
Him?
All right. Yeah.
If he's
only seen it spelled.
All right.
I was thinking Frohike.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And that is...
Hairstyle, walking... Frohike.
Oh, man.
Excellent cluing.
I remember
it was Fro something. It was. Yeah.
I mean, I could tell it was a lone gunman something. Okay.
What were the names of the other two?
No Anyone idea.
Remember? Dude and guy.
Nair and other one.
Nick and Jeff have 4. Sarah and I have 7.
All right. So everybody swap cards.
Okay. Where are we in
this
the
is number
now?
15.
Okay. Because I also got
We're going to start with Tara, who's going to give a clue to Sarah.
Rosie. Terrible clue.
2 pieces of information there. One was the clue, which was what?
Rosie.
Rosie. And then also that clue was, in fact, terrible.
Huh. Palmolive.
No.
Incorrect.
Good guess, though.
Nick giving a clue to Jeff.
I'm old. Wow.
Was it Pinky?
A better clue. Will you look at me like that,
because I didn't think that was allowed.
I said character names are okay.
Okay.
Leather.
Incorrect.
Leather?
Skin of a cow.
Uh-huh. Sorry.
Mm.
Hey.
That's a good clue.
Tuscadero?
Yeah! Nicely done.
Nice.
All right. That was well put together.
The reason I said Rosie was because I thought I couldn't say Pinky if that was part of this character's name.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Right. Now I know.
Well, given how the clues are going, guys, I'm opening up. Okay, number
Fair
16.
Enough.
Number 16, and Tara's giving the clue.
Pawnee.
Pawnee is a clue for Sarah.
Park.
Incorrect.
Candy.
Good.
Sweetums.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been a good one to pass on, I think. All right, number 17.
It's ready to go. Mandonald.
All right, snafu. We missed one part of one answer. The answer was Mandonna.
Mm-hmm.
Tara gave the clue Mandonald, which is not allowed because it is part of the answer.
Davis
so
capricious.
The point went to the bros. So,
okay. Yes.
All right, so here we go. Number 18, back to Tara.
Yep. Initiative.
Need an answer.
Sorry.
Island.
Initiative and island.
Yeah, I don't. I know. Yeah.
Linus.
Others.
Nope, but you're on the right track.
Valuable information given as a whisper.
Experiments.
Ludovico is all I can think of, so that's what I'm saying now.
Organization.
Oh, why can't I remember the goddamn name of it? This is what happens when you quit watching the show. Yet it keeps coming back to bite you in the ass.
This was in the last round, too, I think.
Penultimate in the last game, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Greg.
Yep, that's what I was going to say next.
Grunberg.
That's a good...
Mm-hmm. Kind of makes sense. Yeah.
All right. Yep. It's in that universe.
Here's Tara. This is your last.
Spiritual.
Spiritual was the clue.
Spiritual was the clue.
Correct.
Harmony.
So this is the last clue.
Ampersand.
Dharma.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm the worst.
It's okay. You're not. That's a hard one.
All right.
I was like circling that so long.
All right, here we go. 19, back to...
S.H.I.E.L.D.?
What?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the show Hydra is from.
Oh my God.
Tara, losing points left and right, not thinking about her clues. Sad. Sad when that happens to somebody so young. Number 20.
Barely even thought of it as a TV thing. All
Number
right.
All right, 20.
All right.
That's not my problem.
Okay,
don't
you're right.
Blame me.
It's not. Shrive.
Oh, time for another Tara update.
Tara's angry.
It's not about me. It's about my teammate who can't be here.
I get so uncomfortable when my head gets high. Yeah.
All right, your clue, Sarah, for number 20 is Schreiber.
Schreiber.
Mm-hmm.
Ray.
Nope.
No.
Guard.
Pablo.
Incorrect.
Pablo.
Porn stash.
Yes! Comeback trail! We own it!
All right, here's our... All right, here's our last question before we swap for the last time. It's number 21.
Oh, all right.
Number 21.
Baelish.
Littlefinger.
Yep.
Correct. Okay.
Just as well, because I don't know what I would have said.
In the wheelhouse.
And I wouldn't have gotten it.
So we're swapping.
Okay. Yep. Sarah and I have 8. Nick and Jeff have 10.
Oh. Enjoy it while it lasts, Jeff.
The pressure.
Okay. Ding, 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 ding. Here we are. Our last seven things. Yep. Going up to 28. We have a tiebreaker if we need it.
Well, we had to throw one out because of the snafu. Right?
No, it's still there.
Okay.
Yep.
Price.
Showcase.
Incorrect.
Game.
Plinko?
Yes!
Whoa!
Damn! Who's married now?
Seriously.
Yeah, break the news to Wendy and Alexis.
We consecrated it with a high five.
All right,
as God intended.
All right, back to Sarah.
I'm going to pass this shit.
Oh, strong. I'll say doctor.
The clue was a sultry doctor.
Well, they are now on their honeymoon.
Yeah. Seattle.
Oh.
McDreamy?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Other.
McSteamy?
Yes!
Oh, shit!
Like, I was thinking Doctor Who at first, and I was like, what's the... I've never... I was like, what is that? The Time Quarium or something?
Well.
But what else could you have done? I mean...
So we're back to Sarah for 24.
Right. Now I'm thinking.
Yeah, this one's a tricky
thinking
one.
I'm doing some strategery.
Yeah, and remember that you cannot use any part of the things that are in the clue.
Right. Yeah, you know what? I hope this works out, T-Bone.
Yeah.
I'm pass it.
Okay.
Who's T-Bone?
I don't know.
Your mom's T-Bone.
Nope.
Is that true?
Holiday.
Festivus.
To Sarah.
California.
Chrismica.
Oh, yes. What a grab.
We had that one in the last game, too, I think.
The last one was Ludachristmas from 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right.
All right. Pass.
And I can't use any other part of this thing as the clue, right?
I think we've established, because of reasons, that you can use other... names or stuff like that. We've already established that.
Okay. Arvin.
Bristow?
Incorrect.
Arvin.
Oh.
Sloan?
Duh. Yeah.
Correct.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Is it?
I should have known
Still
that.
Don't think I understand what the rules are.
Well, we started off very
That's
strict.
My story.
And I'm as sorry. We got through, let's say, a lot of incorrect questions, we started letting people use... names
as we were voted an industry leader in blank air.
Yes. All right, so that point went to Nick and Jeff. So
it did.
Sarah's giving clue to Tara. I'm not editing this, by the way. I know this would be better if I could edit it dead air, but I ain't got the time, guys.
Last time you did, right? Yeah, last time it made it seem very fast paced when originally it was not.
Okay.
Okay. I am also going to risk passing this one.
Oh, okay. Comedian.
Louis?
Incorrect.
Conspiracy.
Belzer.
Incorrect.
Detective.
Fuck.
Munch?
Yes!
Fuck me!
Sorry.
That is some strategic clue in given.
Listen.
I thought it would be I could bounce off it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to try to figure out the way to get it back.
So let's get a score break here because we have 2 questions left, and I feel like it's a close game.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not.
Sarah and I have 9.
The proverbial
Nick and Jeff have 14.
Oh, okay.
It is
not a close game.
It is two people's names game.
Looping all over Westeros right now.
Well, let's finish it up.
Due largely to my
Sarah
Dreyfus.
Dreyfus.
Veep.
Yeah. Wow. Correct. Yeah. All right. And our last.
Tara.
Well, that could be anything.
Oh, no. I don't like where this is going.
I don't know.
Paxton.
Tara's searching her mind.
Stuff.
What?
Stuff.
Paxton, stuff, and what was the first one?
Tara.
Paxton, stuff. Sounds like somebody's having an affair with Bill Paxton.
Wrong Paxton. Now I've got it.
All right, Nick, what's your answer? No idea.
Polygamy?
Sarah, I think Tara knows, but give her a clue.
Chalmers.
Hoarders?
Hoarders, correct. All right.
Paxton is
the game is in fact settled, but let's dig into the
extreme cleaning specialist named Paxton. Matt Paxton.
The shits and giggles category. Oh, I lost my tiebreaker cards. All right. I will give clues.
Are those
I right? will give clues.
No.
First person to shout it out, any one of the four people. Host.
Trebek.
Pitfall, correct. Trebek.
Wow, Sarah.
Right
wow.
on there. All right, congratulations.
Value guess. Good job, husband.
Whoa, no, everything's wrong.
Oh my god.
The value guesser, I think, are in the lead for maybe the first time. That is it for another episode of Extra Hot Great. We drag on and on about the season 4 finale of Game of Thrones. Pause for accolades. Before going around the dial with stops at Playing House, Those Who Kill, Unsealed, Conspiracy Files, Last Week Tonight, and Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
All right. It did get in. Jermaine pitched us the X-Files, Clyde Bruckman's final repose for the canon, but like the titular character, you already knew this. We crowned winners and losers of the week, and the guests were the winners of this week's Game Time. Remember,
we're listening.
I am David T. Cole on behalf of Tara Ariano,
R.I.P. the Hound,
Sarah D. Bunting.
I have to poo.
Nick Reinwell Jones.
I love Jeff.
And Jeff Drake.
I would just almost finished my crossword.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time, right here on Extra Hot Great.
Oh my god.
Now, if you don't mind, I have to get an APB out on a white male, 17 to 34, with or without a beard, maybe a tattoo, who's impotent. Let's go.
That was one of the greatest moments.
This case is as good as solved, Mulder.